Thank you, Brother Rawl. I do want to encourage you to pray for Pastor Myers and his family as he is on vacation. He's going to be driving back here. He'll be with us this next Sunday. And Brother Vaught said he'll be out a couple more weeks. He won't be. He'll be here back on Sunday. He'll be behind the pulpit. Make sure you thank God for your pastor. I've been saved for many years and been in ministry for over 22 years. I started out real young, right? But I've been to different churches. And let me say this, we have an A-plus pastor. God has blessed us with a good leadership here. And make sure you thank the Lord for it, because as quick as we have a good pastor, you know, something can happen and our pastor will be gone. So make sure you're grateful. Make sure you thank him. Write him letters. Write him notes. Text message. Encourage him. Here's a good one. Buy him some gifts. Pitch in money for the offering. It's, you know, to tell you the truth, he doesn't need the monetary stuff. But, you know, it's for us to show our appreciation to him. Just a little bit. I mean, if I had $150,000 in our budget to give him, I'll get with the deacon and say, hey, we need to give this money to Pastor Myers so he can continue to lead our church. That's how much we as a staff appreciate our pastor. And I've been here for a long time, and he's been here since day one with Pastor Esposito, just carrying on, plugging on. And so make sure you appreciate him. Job chapter 1, then we read Proverbs 24. Keep your finger in Job there. We'll go back to it later on. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Man, we just a minute ago read a story about Job. What a catastrophe. I mean, one right after the other. The Bible says here, one comes and tells him the tragic story, and when the words are still in his mouth, he wasn't even done yet, the next person comes and tells him another tragic story, and before that's even done, a next person comes and tells him a tragic story. Just imagine, you lose your wealth, you lose your property, you lose everything, and especially here, you lose your family. I could lose my wealth, I could lose my property, I could lose stuff, but to lose my four precious children, that would be pretty bad. And Job had to endure all this, one right after the other, and layer after layer after layer coming down. The Bible said he got so discouraged, if you will, he rented his clothes. No, he didn't go and pay for it so he could. He ripped it up, shaved his head, and mourned. What a tragic day. Let me say this. Children are gone. Wealth and possessions are gone. Later on we read, even his health. His wealth, his health, family, gone. And God left him with his wife. God bless our wives. Encourage your husband. She tells him, curse God and die. What a wife. We'll see later on what God does to her, right? But layer after layer. The day of adversity will come. It's not if. It will. December 22nd, around that time in 2010, were some rough days in the life of my family. We're excited to have, at that time, our fifth baby. We're looking forward to it. And when my wife and I, when we got married, we wanted five children, four to five children. We had four, and we were looking forward to our fifth baby. And you know how it is. You're excited. You go to the ultrasound and everything like that. It wasn't our first baby. It was our at that time, you know, we were planning it to be our last. And we went to the doctor and did an ultrasound. I want to say it was the baby inside my wife's womb was about 5 months or so. Is that right, Smalley? And the doctor was a little bit concerned, and she said, you know, I need you guys to go. She had a little ultrasound thing in her office, in her room. She said, I need you to go to a clinic where they have better equipment. And I asked her, everything okay? She says, well, we'll see. Just go down over here and check. Made an appointment that day, and I think we went to go get lunch, and we went down to a clinic out where they did imaging and ultrasounds and stuff out in I want to say Bellflower and Artesia down in that area. Sat there, they called us in, and they had the ultrasound, got everything, and the nurse were doing it. And I asked the nurse, I said, is everything okay? The nurse, I said, is there a heartbeat? The nurse said, well, I can't say anything. The doctor will have to tell you, and she's legally not able to tell. My wife left the room. I said, between me and you, what's your professional opinion? She says, you know, I can't say, but I didn't hear a heartbeat or anything. I was a little devastated because the baby was further on. My wife was a little bit further on. So we went back, I want to say that evening, back to the doctors. Oh, no, the next day. We're praying about it, and sat there with the doctor, and the doctor said, there's no heartbeat, and the baby has passed in the womb. Of course, we're heartbroken, and sat there, and he said, well, what do we do? He said, well, we can take the baby out so it didn't cause an infection and stuff. So we talked about it, and we gave it to the Lord, and we thanked the doctor, and, you know, of course, we're sad. Went home, it's around Christmas time. Decided, you know, the next day to go, let's get this done, get a simple DNC, clean everything out, and get ready for Christmas. And then right after Christmas, we would go to camp and get ready for the kids with camp. My wife has had a miscarriage before, so, and she had a procedure done like this before, so it wasn't as far off. So I went there, and procedure usually takes about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at most, after the recovery and everything like that. Decide, you know what? After this, we'll go to shopping and get some stuff done and get some gifts for the family. Went to El Pollo Local, got me a couple of pieces of chicken, amen, some tortilla and their famous sauce, and wanted to come back and enjoy it with my wife. Sat there and wasn't done yet. I said, good night. Been gone for 2 hours. It's not done yet. What's going on? I sat in the waiting room. The doctor finally came in. The doctor said we had some complications while we were doing the procedure. I said, complications? Everything good? He said, everything should be all right. She said they found some fluid in her abdomen. Now, I'm a little bit blunt. I said, fluid. I said, what are you talking about, fluid? I said, are you talking about blood? She said, yeah, something went wrong, and she's bleeding a lot, trying to stop the bleeding. So I need you to sign some waivers. We need to do an emergency operation on your wife. That time I wasn't hungry anymore. I put my chicken down. She said, don't worry, I got steak for you. I'm like, I don't want to even eat anything. I went over there, and I saw her at the corner of my eye. She's laying there on the table, and she explained to me what was going on, signed some paperwork. She couldn't sign it herself. Went out, called Pastor Esposito at that time, called Pastor Myers also. Sat in the operation, or sat in the waiting room, called my in-laws, called my sisters and my family, my mom, and told them what was going on. I think they started the operation about 7 o'clock in the evening. And it went all the way through. I mean, it seemed like forever just sitting there. It was me, Mrs. Beck, and I forget who else, but I remember Mrs. Beck sitting there, Mrs. Karen Beck. She came and sat there with me. And we're just praying. And, you know, inside my mind, I'm still thinking, okay, it's just a little bit of blood. They're going to patch her up. Everything's good. I called over there, you know, they had their little phone there. I called, I said, hey, can we get some information? What's going on? This is like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning now. I said, okay, the one of the doctors would be out. There was two doctors operating on her. One came out and said, okay, we finally got her stable. And that's when it hit me, Pastor Bouchard. I'm going to go, what are you talking about stable? And they told me the graphic issue of what was going on. And then it really hit me. Sat back down, started praying. About 4 o'clock in the morning or so, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they came back out and said, okay, we saved your wife's life. We had to give her so much fluids. I'm like, wow. So during the process, she was so mangled up inside that she would have to have a colostomy bag. I said, what's a colostomy bag? She said she has to go use the restroom and everything in this bag because we couldn't, everything's so fragile in there and we can't do anything about it, and this is what she just has to do. I said, is it reversible? He said, should be reversible. Should be, if everything goes well. Had that bag on there, where colostomy bag, where the restroom stuff would come out. She was in ICU there, and on the 23rd, it was a couple of days before Christmas, and I'm just sitting there. She's unconscious, you know, all drugged up. And I'm sitting over there, I go, man, it's supposed to be an hour and a half, 2 hour procedure, and it went down for all this time. And I'm praying, I'm asking God, I'm talking to her and telling her what's going on. She's probably, she didn't hear me, she's out. And I remember I went home that day. I dropped off my kids with my sister and drove back just bawling and thinking, what in the world? You know, what am I going to do? I got on the phone, had Brother Joseph take care of camp and do all that stuff for me. Stayed in the hospital for about 10 or so days. Got out. I remember when we got out, it was great. Went home, had to go buy some stuff for her. They had an in-home nurse for her. Never one time did my wife ever complain and say, I can't believe this happened to me. I remember her feeling well enough, and I kind of rushed her. I said, hey, let's go to church. Of course, I went to church every week, and I told her to stay home, and she's walking gingerly and everything like that. And then she got into the routine of everything, changing the bag, and it was just a nightmare during that time. The doctor said that colostomy bag is going to have to stay there for about 6 months. And you guys have to learn how to change it and get full and release it. It was just an uncomfortable ordeal. I remember one time she was at Costco. Excuse me, I didn't ask my wife to tell this story, but forgive me. And she gave me a call. I was at work. She wasn't working at that time. She was, of course, staying home. But she went to Costco to buy some things, and she called, and she was crying. I said, what's going on? She said, I'm so embarrassed. I was at Costco, and the bag exploded, and stuff just everywhere. And I felt for her, and she was crying. It was a rough time. Let me say this. Through that, I didn't hear my wife complain one time and point her finger towards God. Not one time. 6 months went on and took that out, and they reversed everything and doing pretty well. But you're going to go through some adversity in your life. Days of adversity will come. A death of a parent, a death of a family member, a sickness and divorce and hurt and heartache, they're going to come in your life. Days of adversity will come. It's not if they come, they will come. Let me say this, the possibility of you fainting, it's real. And church, if your strength is small, you will faint. I can go through my mind of people where tragedies happen in their life. A death of a loved one, and instead of turning to God, the person got bitter and got away from God and got into sin. Church, problems will come. The problems don't define you. It's what you do with those problems. In a church of our size, there's going to be heartaches. There's going to be problems. There's going to be times where you look in the mirror and say, why? I remember my sister saying, why did this happen to you, Nate? I said, I don't know why. Why is it that they have drug people or people that live an illicit lifestyle and they go get abortions and nothing happened to them? And she said, why does it happen to good people like you? I said, I don't know. But I know this. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. James 1:12, the Bible says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation or trials. For when he is tried, and he receives a crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. And you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through problems, but don't quit. Hey, church, just because something happens to you in life doesn't mean it. You say, man, I got to quit. I got to go back. And man, I'm discouraged. Yes, we'll hurt. Yes, we'll feel bad. Yes, we'll cry. But keep on going for God. Don't quit. Some of us, things happen to us. Man, I just got to step back a little bit from ministry. You know what? Sometimes we do need to step back a little bit. And we have to heal a little bit. But some of us step way back. We quit coming to church. We quit going to God and we quit reading our Bible. We quit praying. We quit being in the house of God because of trials. Trials will come. Don't quit. Trials will come. Church, don't blame God. I like what Job said. Job arose and rent his clothes and his mantle in verse 20 and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And he didn't quit, he worshiped. He said, God, what is it that you're teaching me? God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant. There's a plan. And we say, oh, God, why did you do this? And we point our fists at God and say, God, you did this and you did that and you did this to me. God never did any of that to us. Verse 21, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. He saw his state. Man, I'm just a sinner. And naked I shall return. But he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I might not rejoice as far as my situation, but I can rejoice in the Lord that God still loves me. And I'm still a child of God. And I'm still going to heaven. Job didn't blame God. Instead of blaming God, Job got closer to God. Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We have to understand these trials happen for a reason. Isaiah 55:8, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways thy ways higher than our ways, and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Oh, God knows best. Be careful when you say, why did God, why did, no, God didn't do this to us. God's teaching us something. Oh, don't quit, church, when you go through a trial. Don't blame God. And you have to understand, God's in control. He makes no mistakes. God's never late. He's always on time. We might think, man, God, why didn't you come through? How come you didn't do this? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you preserve this? God's never late. He's always on time. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes we think, man, during the trials, God's gone. You're not alone. God's there. During that time, during my wife's operation, I would sit there. She was in the hospital. I would go home at night, and I would just lay there. I'm thinking, what in the world is going to happen? My wife have to live with this bag forever. what are the handicaps she's going to have. But our strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I love the story of the person that was walking and fellowshipping with God. And in life's they're just them and the Lord just talking and just fellowshipping. She sees the two sets of footprints on the sand. She says, during her roughest trials, her roughest time in life, why is it that, Lord, you've left me? Why is it that there's only one set of footprint on the sand? She says, I can't believe that you did that. Christ turns to the person and says, my child, during those rough times, yes, there is just one set of footprints on the sand. But is that, that's because I was carrying you. God's in control. Lastly, well, almost lastly, we just need to give it to God. We need just, God, this is going through this trial, I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes as Christians, we want to bear our burdens. Bible says, or the song says, bring your burdens to the Lord and what? Leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Bring your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. We go through life with all this burden. We trust God for our salvation, but we won't trust God for our burdens. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon him. The Bible says, because he cares for you. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. In the old Western days, a man was walking down the road carrying a bag of grain on his shoulder. Another man was riding along the road in a wagon pulled by a horse. He came up beside the man carrying the grain and said, jump up on the wagon and ride with me. It's too hot to be walking today. The man said, thank you. He got up on the wagon, sat down with his bag of grain still on his shoulder. After a while, the driver said, why do you have that grain on your shoulder? Why are you carrying that heavy load? Just put it down and relax. The passenger said, oh no. Oh no, sir. It's enough that you would allow me to ride. I would never ask you to carry my burden also. That's how we treat God sometimes. It's enough that you would save me, but I can't bring my burdens to you. Why don't you just give it to the Lord? Say, God, in my own strength, I am so weak. Let me give you my burden. Give it to God. 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. What is it, church, that you're going through? What is it in your life that you have burdens, you have trials, and you're holding on to it, and nobody knows about it? It's in your heart. Man, I'm going through this hard time. Why don't you give it to God? Job, you lost everything. Satan comes to God. God, you know why you have him. He still has his health. Well, you go ahead and touch him. Satan touched him, had boils all over his body. Lost his wealth, his health, his family. Lost everything. Turn to Job 42 with me. Church, the sun is going to rise again. We think, man, this is, the dawn's just, it's too long. The night's too long. Look what happened to Job. Lost everything. Friends criticized him. I know why this is happening. You have some kind of sin in your life. All through that, verse 12. So the Lord, what's that next word there? Bless the what? Latter end of Job more than the beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had more than what he had ever hoped for. The sun shone on him again. And ladies and gentlemen, your trials compared to eternity is but short. Let's just say, you know what, during the trials, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to trust God. Lord, during the trials, I'm not going to blame you. I'm going to trust you. During the trials, I'm not going to keep my burden. I'm going to lay it down at the altar. And I understand one day, either in this life or the next, with Christ in eternity, all my burdens are gone. Ladies and gentlemen, all the suffering and all the trials you're going through is but for a minute compared to how great it's going to be in heaven. If God tarries and he doesn't bring you out of the trial here, I'll tell you what, God has a home for you in heaven. I want to encourage you, church, let's keep going during the trials. Adversity will come. And the possibility of you quitting is there. Don't faint. Make sure your strength is strong. Let's pray. God never moves without purpose or plan when trying a servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord. I don't know what God's spoken to you about.